Hello guys, Alex Fedotov here, and today we have one of our clients in the ESS program, Braden Hadley. This guy just graduated college a few days ago, and while he was still in college during his finals this last December, he made $340K in sales with his e-commerce brand. And yeah, I'm super excited to have you, my man, and you know, amazing to see your progression. We worked with Braden for, you know, some time, and you know, just amazing to see the evolution of this young man.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being on here. You know, I was once one of the guys, you know, watching, you know, from my YouTube, you know, on your channel. So, you know, it's cool to be on the show.
Now you're like on the other side of it.
Exactly. So it's a full circle moment. Full circle moment.
Where you started, like University of San Diego?
Yeah, correct. Just graduated from the University of San Diego with a double majored in marketing and real estate. You know, so I was kind of in a fortunate scenario, right? I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'd been doing entrepreneurial things since, you know, I was 12, whether that was like umpiring, you know, and then I started, you know, around freshman in college, started taking, you know, clients and coaching baseball in little classes. So I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And then what happened during my second semester as a freshman in college is, you know, COVID. So what did that do? It slowed the world down. It allowed me to kind of analyze my life, kind of made class online, didn't have to walk there and back from class. You know, especially the first year is a little less demanding. Professors were a little more lenient on their, you know, curriculum and like assignments and exams and all that. So it really kind of in that sense slowed the world down and allowed me to kind of be perspective and think, you know, what do I want to do? I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, so kind of helped kickstart that idea. For me, it was like, you know, there's a huge narrative, especially in the US, that like college is the best 4 years of your life. And so I looked at that and was like, okay, I'm going to graduate when I'm 22. And so you're saying say I live 100 years, right? So I'm in the first quarter still. From there, it's downhill. Like, that is just the most depressing narrative ever. So I heard that a lot, and I was just like, I'm not saying it's not, you know, obviously it's a great time. It's one of the, you know, one of the best times of your life, but to speculate that it's the best 4 years of your life, you're assuming that it's all downhill from there. And that was extremely depressing for me. So when I graduated high school, I was a little stressed about like, okay, what do I do? And so, you know, maybe I was a little early, you know, to kind of, you know, analyze what I want to do in terms of career path. And then that kind of segues into the second problem. And that's, you know, a lot of college students don't know what they want to do, right? And so for me, I was fortunate enough to understand that I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? And so when COVID happened, it kind of, you know, everyone was indoors and I was like, selling online sounds like a good idea. And then I actually looked into it and was like, you know, low barrier to entry, right? Low upfront capital, high scalability. And then I looked at it and I was like, okay, this is the best opportunity that the world has seen in the world of entrepreneurship. Like, my parents didn't have this opportunity, right? So if I don't take this and I don't run with it and try to make the most out of it, like, I'm doing myself a disservice, right? And on one side, if this succeeds, great, I'm an entrepreneur out of college and I have a career path set out for me, right? And that's fortunately where I'm at right now, and I couldn't be more blessed and grateful for that. On the other hand, if I would have taken the initiative to do what I've done and maybe I failed, I'm still levels ahead of just the guy who graduated college with an internship, right? Because especially in marketing, you learn by doing. You don't read a textbook and be like, I'm a marketer now. It's like you know, marketing is an ever-changing landscape. And the way, you know, you have to adapt to the way consumers respond and watch content. So, you know, that's kind of how I saw it. And so for all you listeners out there, if you're in college, just try to take the leap of faith, right? Try to, you know, build an extracurricular for yourself. Try to learn marketing, sales, try to find those certain segments in entrepreneurship that you really resonate with. And try to build something, right? If it fails, like, it's a win-win situation, especially if you're a college student. It really is a win-win situation. You either succeed with a business that's cash flowing for you every month, or you have experience, right? And your resume is even sharper than the average, you know, person who gets an internship plus a degree.
Why you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so that's a good question. There's a couple of things, right? So I am a middle brother. I have an older brother who was, you know, getting out of college. I also have his friends were a little bit older than him, so I got to see their progression through college while I was still, you know, I wasn't even in college yet, and they were already, you know, done through that chapter of their life. And so, you know, they'd say stuff like, "Oh, I wish I stayed home, you know, and not have gone elsewhere," or, you know, "I wish I would have done this," or, "I hate my job," or something like that. So that kind of like put, you know, an implant in my brain. I was like, okay, like, you know, I want something with control. I want something, you know, that I can kind of navigate my own path and not be tied down to location, time, and money, right? So, you know, in that, like, so I kind of evaluated it. I was like, job or entrepreneur, right? And I see more risk, in my opinion, right? If this is a subjective discussion, that, you know, I saw more risk in having a job. Because at the end of the day, like, money is amazing. Money's great. It allows you, it's like the key to freedom, right? But does it provide happiness? Not necessarily. But if I have control of my life, I will be able to achieve happiness better. So for me, it was like, you know, I have this great opportunity in front of me. If I don't take it, I will live a life of regret. And there's no, you know, like, to me, I was just like, I cannot do this to myself. Like, I need to do this. I need to try. If it doesn't work out, oh well, you know. But, you know, so that's kind of where I was at, and I'm really grateful for the position I had in my life to be able to analyze that and think ahead.
How is like that? Just give us like perspective, right? Because a lot of people watching, you know, they might be might not be just like from the United States, even like so. U.S. perspective: how much did college education cost, and what do you get for it?
Well, okay. Yeah, so it depends on what school you're going to. It could cost anywhere from,
Give me San Diego. Give me like the one that you went to.
oh geez. Okay. Costs like 30, 35 a semester, so probably 60 to 70 a year for 4 years.
60-70 G's.
Correct. And I think it teaches you. So, like, marketing is a gray area, right? I think you can agree that it's not black and white. It's not necessarily like medical or law where everyone knows this certain set of knowledge, right? It's like, you know, marketing is so different. As I said earlier, it's an ever-changing landscape, right? So I think college, depending on what you study, could be valuable. For marketing, it's difficult. It's really hard to stay up to date with something like that. So for me personally, it was very valuable in the sense that I, you know, was able to, you know, have your back against the wall in the sense that you had a million things to do with school, and on top of that, you had the business, right? So you were always busy. You kind of learn, you know, time management. You learn opportunity costs, like, oh, I could go to class and, you know, spend less time studying for the exams. I went to class, or I could, you know, do these couple things for the business, and, you know, so I had to navigate that too. So you learn opportunity cost, time management, and then efficiency, right? You need to do the most things in the best way possible, but also the quickest, right? So you learn a lot of those skills. And I think, you know, maybe the knowledge I got in the area of marketing wasn't as valuable as the cost it is for college. But I think in terms of work ethic and those kind of skills, I think it kind of sets a good foundation, you know, for what entrepreneurship will entail.
So the total cost of that, like kind of like from the monetary perspective is like what, 200 G's, 300 G's?
Yeah.
So $200,000,
On the low end, it can cost like 60. If you get a scholarship, obviously that deducts a lot of costs. But
did you get a
there are some
scholarship?
schools. No, I didn't. Yeah, I barely got into this college. Yeah, I wasn't as driven and focused in my freshman and sophomore years of high school, so I kind of slacked a little bit.
Would you send your kids to college?
We'll see what they want to do when they get there. You know, I want to give them a life of, you know, I want them to create their own path, and I want them to work hard and be have versatility socially, you know, financially, you know, educationally. Like, I want them to have that kind of versatility. So, you know, that's really perspective down the line. So we'll have to see, you know.
Cool. All right, let's get into e-com. So you have this idea, you want to be an entrepreneur. COVID hits, you have more time on your hand, you don't have to commute, you don't have to like go anywhere. You realize that, you know, now is the time. So what do you do? Like, what's your thought process? What's your research process like? how did you find the vehicle to actually become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, first you got to identify opportunity, right? And that's for most people the hardest part, right? Because they go after like the flashy object, like the trendy product, the fads, the fidget spinners, right? I wanted to create something that had a wide addressable market, low risk, meaning like low cost to source the product.
Why even like e-commerce in the first place though? I mean, so you can do like Amazon, you can do like, you know, I don't know, Forex trading, you can do like, you know, trade on eBay. Like you can, there's so many opportunities. So I mean, some people say like, hey, you have to put like ATMs like in everything. Why e-commerce?
Yeah. So, I mean, it just made the most sense for me. I'm a creative, you know, where I shine is like creativity. So for me, I didn't like with, so between in the whole spectrum of e-commerce, it was really between for me, Amazon or Shopify. What I loved about Shopify, you can create a whole storefront, a whole brand. You can create something massive out of it. Look at Manscaped, Gymshark, et cetera.
Yeah.
You can create something massive out of it. They didn't start from Amazon, right? Because why? You know, they can create their own, you know, brand, right? You can run ads from Facebook, Instagram without 20% transaction fees. They can collect data from customers. Like there's so many advantages of Shopify that Amazon couldn't harness. The only thing they have is the, you know, the traffic on Amazon. That's in my eyes, one of the only advantages. But so I just saw from a creative standpoint and just, you know, business feasibility, you know, in thinking long term, I just saw Shopify as like by far the best option.
Okay, so you're starting on Shopify. Like, what are your first kind of like, you know, how did you find like the first kind of like ideas or first like kind of a direction?
Yeah, for me, I didn't want to like do something. I didn't like the whole like, for me personally, when I was starting out, I use this now for like creative inspiration, but I didn't like the whole like, you know, ad spies just because it showed you every single product that everyone else is looking at. So for me, I wanted to go like kind of an organic route. So I'd look on Amazon and I'd see like bestsellers. I'd go on AliExpress and I'd look at stuff that has a higher order volume. And I'd even go on Alibaba and find new listings that kind of have that kind of spark your eye. I'm sure you can agree to this. Like you see these products that catch your attention, you get excited about them. So because you A, haven't seen them before, and B, could provide, you know, unique value to the market that hasn't been, you know, provided to yet. So I wanted to do something where it was like, you know, less saturated. I wanted to go, you know, kind of build my own path using criteria that has worked for other people, but kind of building my own path. So I kind of went it a little bit strategically in that sense.
Okay. So did you watch YouTube videos? Like where did you find that initial like information? Did you pay for courses? Like what did you do?
Yeah, all the above. So I was still trying to run my coaching businesses during COVID to fund, you know, my endeavors in e-commerce. I'd watch YouTube videos for 8 to 10 months before I even started my first store. Why? Because I wanted to have a bunch of knowledge. I didn't want to just make a stupid general store and use shitty tactics. I wanted to like watch everyone in the game, kind of be like, okay, who's giving me like reasonable information? Like who's not, you know, because you can kind of tell like if it's bad information, especially if you're watching YouTube for that long. So I wanted to, you know, see like who's kind of giving you great advice, who's giving you bad advice, etc. And from there build, you know, a pathway of how we would or how I would navigate, you know, my strategies. So I saw all the general store stuff, you know, rapid testing, and then I saw like the Dan Boss, the Charlie Brandt, and then I saw their like branded approach, and that really resonated with me because that just made the most sense. So, you know, I'd buy all their courses and then, you know, go from there. So it took me around like, you know, 10 to 12 months to even like start building a store just because I wanted to collect knowledge.
So how much time did it take you to get some like proof of concept, like, you know, at least some sales or some profitability?
So first brand didn't work out. I, you know, had a great idea, saw opportunity, just didn't know how to market, right? And I ordered in bulk. Probably don't do that. So I lost, you know, $3,000. I had $5,000 at the time, over $3,000. So now I was down to $2,000. So I was like, okay, Breton, let's do this a little more strategically. Maybe not buy in bulk again, and maybe think this out a little bit more. Maybe serve something that to customers that will cost a little bit less. So, and then so my second store thought a little bit more strategically, served something that was lower cost. Still ordered in bulk, so I made the same mistake twice. But this time around, I really learned the marketing aspect to it, you know, how to do media buying, how to launch your ad campaigns, how to build like a beautiful storefront that will convert. I was good at writing, so I kind of had the edge on that. And then from there launched, you know, a pretty good idea. And then in 2021, January, I think 14th, 2021, I think I remember the exact day, got my first sale, woke up with, you know, sale for $19.99, and for me that was like the craziest thing ever. First day I was profitable. So January 14th, 2021 is when, you know, the day it all changed.
Did that like success last for you, or like was it like short lived?
Yeah, so it was addressing a problem during COVID, right? So it worked really well. It was a really good and unique idea that the market hadn't seen yet. That worked extremely well until we stopped quarantining, until, you know, it became less prevalent in society. So then I had to pivot, right? So then that was my second, you know, obstacle. I was like, okay, how do I adapt? How do, you know, because every entrepreneur needs to be adaptable, you know, adaptive. And so that was, you know, my biggest obstacle in front of me. Okay, if I don't adapt and, you know, provide a new solution to the market, I'm not going to last, right? And so, you know, what I did was I had data from customers, read comments, feedback from the product, and they were giving me, you know, their reasons to why they bought it, which was completely different from what I was marketing it for. And then so I just read customer feedback and I provided a solution for what a majority of them were commenting. And then that worked out even better than, you know, my original idea that had to do with, COVID. So it, you know, that was a huge obstacle that ended off paying off, taught me a lot. So, it was a huge win in that sense. And then, you know, started reinvesting into communities. I don't think I was yet, I was freshly into your community at that time. So that was kind of, you know, my second biggest one. And then when things really started, you know, picking up and changing.
Nice. So what changed? Like, did you get anything from, like, what, do you remember some wins from joining our community back in the day, like when you joined?
100%. It was like the last course I ever needed to invest into. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on camera. But I truly mean it. And, you know, I've brought some peers into your program too, because I recommend that highly. But you know, just the community alone is probably the biggest, source of value. The courses are so good, as well. Like the videos, they're really, you know, they're from experts, right? So can't really go wrong. But in my opinion, you know, the biggest source of value was the network, right? Because I come to you with a problem. I'm like, Alex, you know, I need help sourcing content, or I need help finding someone for this. And it's like, oh, I got a guy, you know? So it's like, you're a middleman in that sense. And you're connecting me to great people like, you know, Carl and Jimmy, Carl Weiss and Jimmy Farley. Two great people that have, you know, done great things for the brand and, you know, have helped, you know, deliver great results and grow the business.
You mentioned, like, so when choosing the products, like, oh, let's say if you were like to coach, right, or to mentor someone, you know, how would you like explain, let's say, the product selection element? Like, which products would you go for? Which products you wouldn't go for? Like, maybe some of the things that you would keep in mind when making that decision, what products to sell?
Yeah, it's a great question. Ultimately, it really depends on where you're at from a financial standpoint and your level of success as an entrepreneur, right? So if you were starting out, you know, and you had, let's say, 5 to 10 G's in your pocket, I'd be thinking, what's something that I can source for cheap? Have, you know, people say 3x markup. I like to have any, like, my markup is pretty much a 5x, really close to a 5x. So if you can get at least a 4x markup, you know, low cost of goods, and, you know, solve a problem in a way, whether that's emotional, solving a problem to an insecurity. So, you know, solving, you know, some sort of problem, and then, you know, that can solve a problem for a high addressable market. Like if your total addressable market's big, you know, that means you can have a lot of customers. If you were to market like this water bottle, you know, obviously for hikers, you know what I mean, go on a hike and be hydrated. But for, you know, you could also, an example of another angle would be like, you can market this to entrepreneurs and you could say, you will spend more time at your office because you have to get up less to refill your cup of water, right? So you're saving time, right? And in turn, making more money because you have more time to focus on your work. That's an example of like an angle. If you can deliver something of value to an audience and, you know, and your messaging resonates with that audience, like you are going to provide so much value to a lot of people. And in return, you will, you know, be successful and you'll learn so much doing it. So I think, you know, if for someone starting out, I really think marketing is extremely important. Just developing a solid strategy, understanding that it's not about having a general product, but instead going towards some, you know, providing a valuable solution to a group of people that will resonate with your messaging. And I think that's so important. And if you're not doing that, you know, you're just going to sell yourself short and your success rate is going to be, you know, 10%, 0%, right? Right now I'm finding myself a really strong success rate because I'm putting in the extra time, validating, right? You know, kind of trying to resonate, you know, empathize with your customer and be like, who am I talking to and how would they respond to this messaging? So you really have to think about it like that. And I think if you do that, you'll have, you know, 25 to 35% success rate. And that's huge in this world, right? So, and I really, I can't stress that enough. During Q4, when I met you in person for the first time in New York, I was at, you know, a standstill with my company. I was like, okay, like I'm kind of screwed. I was almost like, you know, to zero again. And I was like, cause I reinvested too much funds, you know, just trying to scale, and I invested into the wrong people. And that almost, you know, that almost killed the business, right? So I was like, okay, I really need to make this work. And so, you know, that's around the time where I needed to make a big pivot. And so I was, you know, was in tune with customer, you know, feedback. And then I sold, you know, I tested 3 products in the same month and I resonated with the audience and, you know, strategized a marketing concept for them. And all 3 of them worked out. And all 3 of them turned the life of the business over tenfold. So it just goes to show that, you know, your success rate could be over 50%.
And that Q4, you made like $1 million, right?
Yeah, I was very close to that. Yeah. And I started late September. So it needed like data to start collecting. And then, so it was, yeah, extremely scalable during the tail end of Q4, you know. So now I'm like, okay, you know, this Q4, if I can have 3 products, you know, push that much volume, then what about 12, right? What about 16 products? So it's like a numbers game at this point. I have the marketing strategy dialed. I'm going to go after different segments, right, all with a certain strategy in mind. And if I can get 3 products at that scale, imagine what I can do with 12, right? Maybe, you know, hopefully $1 million in a month. Like that would be insane. Yeah. That's a milestone I've never been able to achieve. And, you know, I think now that I have undivided attention and don't have to do school anymore, I really think I can do that if, you know, again, it all comes down to marketing, right? If your marketing's dialed, you know, you're delivering a great product, there's no reason why you can't succeed.
Yeah, it's like, so the definition of the marketer, they say the marketer, right? So we are all marketers. So definition of the marketer is, okay, so here's a prospect, right? They have, you know, their fears, they're scared of something, or they're afraid of something, right? They have their dreams, you know, they want something, you know, either some change in life, maybe they're lacking some emotions in their life, you know, this, you know, so pretty much it's between like fear and like dreams and kind of like what we help them to become. And so the marketer goal is to identify, that's just my kind of like, that's how I understand it. That worked for me. Like, is to understand what those emotions are so that you can demonstrate and, pretty much communicate those emotions in your marketing, right? So then those people like, oh, this resonates with me. This resonates with me. They're raising their hand. You know, they're buying the product because they see the product as something that's, you know, something that will help them to get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, you know, something like jewelry or gifts aren't necessarily a problem solver, but at the end of the day, like whether it's like jewelry, a gift, or like in like a knee brace, people resonate the most with emotions, right? Across the board, right? So yes, you're solving a problem, but what emotion does that solution do, right? It makes you feel like if you have a knee brace and you feel, you know, better, and you feel more confident because you can walk better, you're less like, you know, worried, you know, or anxious about it hurting again, you know, so many things and people resonate the most with emotions, right? Across the board, I think marketing is so important to just understand and really focus on. I think, you know, whether you're starting out or you're an expert, just honing in on that craft of marketing is just so crucial. Something else I wanted to touch up on just to help any aspiring entrepreneur, someone who wants to get into Shopify, what, you know, in a common question is like, is this saturated? Is this too late to get into? And I think it's so important to kind of look at it as like, you know, what is saturated out there is like the strategy that they're teaching you or the knowledge they're giving you, right? Because they're teaching you the ad spy, go find a trending ad, a trending product that lasts 2 months, copy it and paste it, right? And just hope, fingers crossed, it'll work, right? So what's actually saturated in the world of e-com is knowledge and strategy that they're giving you. What is untapped is building a brand, focusing on gross profit margins, building a brand and honing in on a market strategy. That will never go away. You know, products are also cyclical, right? So they come back. For whatever, you know, for one reason or another. So on the product side of things, stuff may come back that kind of died off 2 years ago. You know, and on the other side of things, like if you really focus in on a good strategy and focus in on people who give you right information like you do, your time to success will be decreased so substantially because, you know, what is actually unsaturated is strategy and knowledge. That's my opinion, and I think it's so important for anyone who really wants to get into it to know something like that because it's the hidden truth. Like where we're at, you know, the United States is a huge consumer market, and there's so many segments you can go after. And so stick to good knowledge. That's the biggest advice I can give you, and you will succeed so quickly, right? I had to learn the hard way going through bad people, reinvesting, losing all my money because I put money into the wrong people, right? But when I found you guys, I've been with you for how many years now? Almost two now, right? And a half, two. So, I mean, and there's a reason for that, right? It's because I get good knowledge, good strategy, good people, good network, right? So everything is good. And overall, it's knowledge and strategy that is saturated. So, you know, just really go out there and try to learn from good people. And I guarantee you, you'll succeed if you keep trying.
You know, when you joined like our program, for instance, how was the decision for you? Because like, were you like skeptical? Were you kind of like scared, like it won't work out? Like, were you thinking like it's a scam? Like what things were going through your mind back then?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think on one end of things, I wouldn't say I was skeptical because I can look at your YouTube channel and determine if you're giving good knowledge or you have good people coming on your channel, right? And so I can identify all those things and be like, okay, this guy's legitimate. He's authentic. He gives good information. He's vetted. I see other people, you know, kind of saying positive things about him. There's little skepticism about him from external people, like not people like me, but you know, other people. So checked all the boxes, I'd say. So there was no skepticism to answer that question, but there was, you know, obviously it was a time in my career where it's like, these investments needed to work. So it was like, I didn't have, you know, at that time I talked to JP, I was like, look, dude, I'm like, you know, down to the bottom dollar, man. Like I need to make this work. Like, you know, I've made a lot of stupid moves. Like, you know, I basically, you know, reinvested all my money into the wrong people. Like I, you know, this has to work. And so, you know, we talked for a couple of days and, you know, so that was the only scary part is like just the foresight that this, if it didn't work, could be the end, you know? So that was the scariest decision. But, you know, when you analyze it, it's like, oh, you invest into good people, teach you great things and help you network with a like-minded people, the community, right? And then what do you get? You fail less and you succeed quicker. So there's no higher ROI opportunity than that. And so I just think if you're, whether you're getting started or you're succeeding, you have traction and you want to scale up, I think community is 100% the best way to do it.
You've done certain things on your website, right? Mm-hmm. That have increased your conversion rate like dramatically. Yeah. You learned those from Carl, who's a great friend. He's conversion rate optimization specialist. So what those things were, and if you can share like what people can leverage to help them with conversion rate.
Yeah. First of all, increase your site speed. That is such a big aspect that goes undermined often. Ultimately, when you click an ad and you're going to a lander, you have a couple seconds to load that website up, or they're gonna A, lose interest, and B, like click off. So, get your site speed optimized. Go on Upwork, invest a couple $100. It'll be a huge overnight.
You use some like freelancers to help you with the site speed?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just on Upwork, it was pretty easy to find, and you just look at like top rated plus or top rated, people that other, clients that other people have worked with, and so that are already kind of vetted in the Upwork system. I don't go to Fiverr for that kind of stuff. I have, and I got scammed a couple times. So.
Okay, so Upwork in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then other things is making it mobile friendly, right? Focusing on, because at least 80% of users will be from mobile. And just, upgrading your copy, making it more compelling, using key emotionally like trigger words. So using the most amount of emotionally captivating words in the shortest, length possible, using, really good imagery, sticking to a few colors, just ultimately branding, your website and making visitors feel comfortable and, like it's a very trustworthy business they're shopping from.
Mm-hmm.
Best way to just increase your conversion rate.
Would you hire someone? Because you have the advantage, right? Because you are good with a design, for example, mm-hmm. and like everything kind of like creative wise. Like, mm-hmm. would you, let's say someone doesn't have that particular like advantage. Like, what would you recommend?
And I'll give them a little hack right here, because this is what I did. And it the template you see on my website is I found it from this. So Shopify, download Gem Pages, and they have a bunch of free product page templates.
Uh-huh.
And pick one out that is most tailored to your niche.
Uh-huh.
And then use that template. And then on the side, have a couple tabs open of your competitors that are selling really well. And then kind of be like, and then, analyze it. Be like, what are they doing that's really good that I love that I could implement onto this Gem Pages template? And so use uh-huh. the Gem Pages template, combine it with, competitors and what they're doing really well. And then right off the bat, you'll have something that's very high converting, because Gem Pages is a really good job providing templates in a variety of niches. And that'll save you so much time building the whole page, because I'm not sure if, I'm sure you've built a whole Gem Pages like page. It takes a lot of time. So just having that right off the bat saves you several hours, and it's already really clean looking, mm-hmm. really can probably convert really well. So if you look at competitors too and combine, have the synergy, you'll do really well. So that's really good advice for people starting out.
Do you do anything for the copy on the website, like to make it like highly converting?
I, again, look at like competitors. I'll look at like three or four, and I'll try to like, generalize like what they're all doing, what they're all doing, or like, how could I improve this? How can I make it sound a little bit better? It's like nothing like too specific, but I'll just look at competitors and try to make it short with some like imagery in the middle of it, and just make it look really clean and, captivating.
Mm-hmm. And what's the conversion rates you've been able to achieve?
Yeah. Right now it's around like this week, it's a 3.8. Mm-hmm. And for my niche, it's kind of like the lowest, like it's not peak season. So, normally you get a lot lower conversion rates. So around Q4, like I'll get close to like a 5% conversion rate.
Nice. And what's the average order value?
Around Q4, around like $55, $57. It's pretty low. Working on higher priced SKUs in a little bit. So that's definitely an area that or one metric I'm really focusing on to increase. Mm-hmm. Because I have the template for my landing pages systemized, and it time and time again converts really well. Now it's just like, okay, how do I increase the amount, the value that customers check out on average? Awesome.
So. Yeah, because it's like it comes down to several numbers, right? The conversion rate, the average order value. If you focus on these things and just kind of like be obsessed about those, like just obsessed, like how you can increase, you know, looking at other like websites, other, you know, other brands that they're doing well, how they're structuring their, like, you know, the maybe the bundles that they sell like more successfully, right? How they structure the website, how they look on mobile, right? Just kind of like be obsessed about learning that, you know, and that's exactly what you did. Like you've seen this, you're looking at other websites, you know, and constantly looking for these like fresh ideas on how to do things better. Because like the conversion rate is like, and I mean, pretty much like if you have these two metrics dialed in, then, you know, you can even make some mistakes on the Facebook ad side. Like you can, you know, your ads might not be like the best, right? But you will still be profitable because, you know, high average order value or high conversion rate can overcompensate for, you know, for the mistakes that you can make like on the paid ad side. Whereas, you know, like most people, they focus like on these like little tactics on Facebook, thinking that that will change the game. Whereas like it's other way around. The most impactful elements are actually, it's your funnel, it's your website, it's your conversion rate, it's your average order value.
Yeah. Don't be focused on how big your audience size should be. Be focused on the percentage of customers that check out. I can't stress that enough. Seriously, it's like, you know, when I met Carl, it was, when was that? September in New York, right? For the first mastermind event I went to. I implemented his changes, you know, overnight. Almost tripled my profits.
Wow.
Just the landing page alone, didn't touch anything else, and increase the site speed. So if you really put that and conceptualize it, it's like conversion rate is so big. It's like you said, you can have a terrible ad, you know what I mean, or whatever, and have a leaky bucket, right? But it'll pay dividends if you focus on it. And, you know, and another thing is like, you know, when I say I do my research, or when you say like, you know, you do your research to be a good marketer, it's like, you don't have to, it's not like you have to go on the dark web and find these things that no one else has seen. It's just like, it's all right there. It's like, you know, I'm sure someone watching out there has cheated on a homework assignment, gotten it from their friend, and then looked at it or been like, this is wrong, or I like this a little better, like change it up a bit to make it look like it's not theirs, right? Yeah. I haven't done that, but I'm sure someone out there has. So, so I mean, my point is, it's you don't have to look very deep. It's all out there. So just if you take the effort to go find it, you know, it'll you know, serve a huge success for your business.
Well, man, I'm looking forward to your next, you know, breakthroughs. This year it must be like 1 million per month. Let's get you there. Yeah, it's been tremendous pleasure, you know, being with you like on this journey, and, you know, helping you to grow, like, and, you know, seeing you grow. It's like, just, you know, it's been incredible pleasure to observe that.
Likewise, man. Yeah, I appreciate you for everything. I know at some points this could have seemed like a sales pitch, but at the end of the day, I am referring other people that I personally know to your course. It's not like I don't, you know, practice what I preach, or like I'm being inauthentic. It's like, I genuinely feel like this, and, you know, I couldn't have reached the heights my business has surpassed, you know, especially while being in school, if it wasn't for, you know, good mentors like you who kind of give you better information. You know, ultimately I spend less time, you know, failing or doing certain things because I get good information. Right? So it's been able to help me grow while I'm in school as a full-time student. Right. So, I truly mean what I say, and I'm, you know, I apologize if it sounds like a sales pitch at all, but I truly mean it. So,
my man,
to everyone out there, it's, you know, it's good to have a community.
My man, thank you so much. Thank you for kind words. Yeah. Looking forward. Let's get you to 1 mil per month. And guys, thank you so much for watching. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me. here, how people can connect with you.
Yeah, you can reach out to me through Instagram. It should just be my first and last name. I'm sure you'll leave it in the description or something. I don't check DMs too often, but I'll, you know, especially after doing this video, I'll make sure to check back on them pretty frequently. So,
cool. Awesome, my man. Yeah, looking forward to, you know, seeing your next successes. It's, you know, it's been a tremendous pleasure being with you on this journey. And yeah, let's scale it to the moon. And guys, thank you so much for watching. Hey, thank you for listening to my podcast. Now, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or advertising campaigns on Facebook and other platforms, then I want to invite you for a free strategy session. We help entrepreneurs scale from 6 figures to 7 figures and even to 8 figures with their e-commerce businesses. So if that's what you're looking for, then I want to invite you. There should be a link somewhere here so you can apply for a free strategy call, and we'll see how we can help you out.